This is the RightsCast Network, brought to you by Dandelion Web Marketing, Lost Lake Press, and Kill Your Darlings Candle Company, and always streaming at rightscast.net. For your future's sake, I've got advice I'd advise you to take. Don't keep betting, well, it's gotta light me up sometime. You'll lose your turn. So open the lyrics to the song On Letting Go by Circa Survive, which just happens to be one of my favorite bands from back in my high school days. Their albums Juturna and, yes, On Letting Go were among my choice albums back when music was my primary mode of expression, when I'd sing along in the car while zipping to and from my own band's gigs in Milwaukee, back when I, yes, still had hair. Hey there, I'm International Book Awards finalist and RightsCast Network founder R.R. Campbell, and welcome to episode 95 of your listener-supported R.R. Campbell RightsCast here on the RightsCast Network, brought to you by Dandelion Web Marketing, Lost Lake Press, and Kill Your Darlings Candle Company. This week's episode is about letting go, a concept that meant something entirely different to me back when I had hair than it does now. This is especially true as I find myself confronting the loss of one of the Wisconsin writing community's pillars, namely the University of Wisconsin's Division of Continuing Studies in Writing. This program is the program through which I learned what it is to be a writer, through which I came to know what it means to be part of an artistic community. Through the university's annual Writers Institute, an event I attended for years without realizing I would one day speak at it, I had the opportunity to learn from other authors, sit with agents, and pick the brains of writers who were, like me, fighting similar writerly battles in their own trenches across the state, the country, and the world. Unfortunately, those of us in the community learned in September of this year that the university's Division of Continuing Studies would be shuttering the doors on all of its writerly programming. Why? Well, perhaps predictably due to the pandemic. So, no more annual Writers Institute. No more Write by the Lake Conference. No more online courses or critique groups or professional exchanges with program staff. It's a tremendous loss to the state and to the region, and it's one I'm sure many of us will grieve for some time. But it would be folly to surrender, to assume all is well and truly lost. As many of the program's instructors, yours truly among them, have come to realize, a community is not a single institution or an event. No, a community is people. And those people are now working harder than ever to determine what comes next. To do this, we may have to let go of what once was, but in the process of letting go, we'll find a new way forward for ourselves and for those we serve. Personally, I've been doing a lot of thinking on this topic as of late as well, particularly in the context of the community we've created here at the RightsCast Network. Since 2016, you've helped me reach tens of thousands of writers around the globe. You've been here as I've recorded nearly 6,000, yes, 6,000 minutes of content for writers by writers, which means it would take you nearly 100 hours or more than 4 straight days of listening to start back at episode 1 and listen through until now. And over the course of the last 4 years, I've loved having the opportunity to speak with so many members of our global writing community. I've learned so much from them that it's impossible to quantify the extent to which they have helped me grow as a writer and better understand the business of writing, and I hope you listeners feel likewise. But, believe it or not, it takes 10 to 15 hours of work to produce a single episode. That's 10 to 15 hours nearly every week spent sourcing guests, preparing interview questions, recording, editing audio, back before I outsourced that, but anyway, updating the website, managing social media, hosting RightsCast chats, and, well, the list goes on. And none of that is accounting for the fact that I also have a part-time day job to work, books to write, a burgeoning candle company to help manage, and, you know, some people I'd like to spend time with outside the realm of all that is writerly. Yeah. Remember that idea of people? Well, as the network has grown, I've come to realize more and more that this idea of people includes me too, and that when working at full throttle to produce a podcast for you nearly every week, this people, in other words, me, must set aside much of what got him to start these podcasts in the first place, that being the writing itself. So, in the interest of returning to my writerly roots, of putting people over platform, because there is a difference, and it's one we cannot lose sight of. The final episode of RightsCast Network programming will debut on December 11th of this year. Yes, the RightsCast Network is coming to an end, but we'll do so only after a conversation with author Dan Sciro for episode 100 of our interview program. In this way, we'll end as we began back in episode 1, bringing a 4 years-long arc to a fitting end. This was, I assure you, not an easy decision to make. Your replies to network tweets and Instagram posts, your emails, and your kind words at conferences, back when those were a thing, have meant so much to me since I first sat down with a microphone and a dream. I will forever treasure the conversations I've had with network guests, and I'm deeply indebted to people like Sione Ashleman, Ikta Garg, Maggie Derrick, and others whose extended stints as hosts or guest co-hosts helped me grow and sustain this network over the course of the last few years. I'm grateful, too, for all of our patrons, but especially people like Kristen Oakley, Laura Hazen, Angeline Boley, Kim Morgan, Avery Ames, and Matt Tamburino, whose financial support helped me keep this community thriving as long as it's been thriving. Then, of course, there are our sponsors, folks like the Wisconsin Writers Association, the Chicago Writers Association, Lost Lake Press, Kill Your Darlings Candle Company, the University of Wisconsin Writers Institute, and Dandelion Web Marketing. If it weren't for their support since 2020 got underway, I wouldn't have been able to hang on as long as I have, and we certainly would not have achieved nearly 50,000 downloads in the last 10 months. And, well, who was doing all of that listening? It was you, the RightsCast Network's listeners. This network would not exist if it weren't for you, and I cannot say thank you enough to you, all of you, who tune in every week, or who tune in once a month, or who tune in once a year. You're the reason I do this. You. So thank you for that as well. The RightsCast Network was never the writing community's most listened to podcast. We never made any lists, at least none that I'm aware of, and we never topped any charts. No, the RightsCast Network never did any of these things, but it was ours, and we'll always have that. We'll always have each other. Because, and I cannot emphasize this enough, platform is not people. We can and are going to stay in touch, and just as something new will come from the dissolution of the University of Wisconsin Writers Institute, something new will come from the winding down of the RightsCast Network, and rest assured that no matter what it is, it's going to put people first. So please, stay in touch. I'm going to give you my email here now, as I've done at the end of every episode for longer than I can remember. This time, however, I want you to write it down and reach out whenever you'd like about whatever you'd like. I'll always make time for a RightsCast Network listener. And that email, friends, is rrcampbellwrites@gmail.com. Again, that's rrcampbellwrites@gmail.com. And you can find me, too, via my author site at rrcampbellwrites.com or on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook as @IamRRCampbell. That's I-A-M as in mother, R.R. Campbell. It was hard for me to type these words, and it's even harder for me now to have said them, but I know this is the right choice. As Circa Survive might have once said, for my future's sake, I've got advice I'd advise myself to take. I can't keep betting every plank I add to my platform will light me up sometime. If I do, eventually, I'll lose my turn. I'll lose my turn, and so much more. So now, with that behind us, let's get to my interview of Lori Scheer, the longtime director of the University of Wisconsin Writers Institute. Over the course of our conversation, we'll discuss what it means to have invested so much in a project, a place, and in people before, one day, having to let it go. We'll grieve together, yes, but we'll focus, too, on the positive, because letting go of one thing opens us up to clinging to something new. Stay tuned after the interview for news about what you can expect next from the RightsCast Network, and thanks, as always, for listening. So thank you so much, Lori Scheer, for joining me again here on the RightsCast Network.
Thank you, Ryan. It's great to be back.
Yeah, we're chatting, of course, in the context of some less fun news. Normally, we're here hyping up the Writers Institute or chatting about something that is along those veins, but today we're talking about the wind down of the UW's Division of Continuing Studies and Writing Program. So why don't we just start by getting this out of the way here. What did the DCS Writing Program mean to you personally, Lori?
That's such a great question. Thanks, Ryan. To me, it meant home. Up until the time that I arrived in Madison, I had been working at various universities and colleges across the U.S. and consulting, also producing content. So I was sort of doing a lot of stuff all at once. And when the job appeared at UW-Madison as a director of programming for the writing department, it meant that was my full-time job. And so it became home to me, and it was my place. It's where I hung my hat to make sure that everything was going to be put together so the writing experience for the writing community was going to be, just a really good, beneficial experience for everybody. So it's meant home for me. That's my basic answer.
And, you know, I think it's been home for so many of us, too. One of the things that has struck me a great deal is just how often, I mean, it is a truly daily occurrence that I find myself thinking about, oh, it'll be really cool at the Institute to speak to this experience. Or you think about, oh, this would be a really cool idea for a panel, or I know who it would be really wonderful to catch up with about this topic, that topic, whatever the topic is. Well, it wasn't until the news came out that I realized I was doing that every day, because that is a bit of, it's that sense of home. It's the gathering place, you know, and especially for someone like you who is, as most folks I think are very clear on now, the Institute isn't something that just pops up for you once a year. I mean, the moment that Institute ends, you're already working on next year's event. And so to have that as part of your life professionally and then personally, I mean, that is, you've been doing that now for, I know Krista Smith started the program, what, 30 years ago? And then you took it over how many years ago?
Yeah, and she is the brilliant mastermind, and I am always bowing to her since the first day for putting together such an amazing program of all of these events. You know, the Wayne's World, I am not worthy. but yeah, she 30 years for the Writers Institute, and then about 20 or 21 for the Write by the Lake, and then Weekend with Your Novel also, and all of the other great programs. So I did the last 10 years of the Writers Institute. So.
You know, that's incredible, because that almost exactly coincides with when I started getting involved more with DCS as a learner. I think it was maybe in 2013 was the first time that I came to that conference. And I have to say that was truly, it was a sort of, I want to call it the renaissance of my writing, you know, participation, but it's really not fair to call it a renaissance, because that was just where I was, you know, born for the first time. It was like, wow. So this isn't just a thing that people think about privately and then clack away at the keys when they have time and then hope they can figure out what publishing is and how it works. It was, oh my goodness, there are hundreds of people doing this around me, and we're all here. And so having had the opportunity to be part of that going back to 2013 and across these years, I mean, personally for me, that has been really wonderful. And of course, I only ever knew you as the conference director, but then met Christine along the way. And like you say, we all stand on the shoulders of giants, and we wouldn't be in this position at all if it weren't for someone like her.
Exactly. And you are not alone. I have heard this from pretty much everybody that's ever attended, that they got there, they weren't quite sure what was going to happen. And then it's usually within the first few hours, they realize, oh, there's others like me. There's a whole species of people like me that are writing and interested in craft and marketing and publishing and all the topics that are involved. And it's just this wonderful moment of enlightenment. I'm not alone, and there are many like me. So thanks for saying that. And I know that I've heard that from many others.
And there is that old cliche of we're writers, we're all introverts. How is it that we survive these conferences? And, you know, I consider myself as being part of that cliche. I further it. I'm a walking embodiment of it. But there is something about the Institute and having that experience, whether it's for the first time or having had the opportunity to visit it, you know, multiple times over the years, there is an energy. And rather than feeling sapped while you're at the event itself, it was such a wonderful, you know, experience. You could feel this sort of effervescence in the air. It was this idea of connection and wonder and enlightenment and all these things that you've spoken to. So I can say personally, again, that that's very true for me. And I think it's maybe worth exploring the second question I had lined up for you here, Lori, because you talk about how DCS, the writing program, I mean, this was home for you. So when you first got the news that DCS was going to be shutting down the writing program, I mean, How did that feel, and what's the process of navigating like that? What's that been like for you?
Shock. Yeah. I guess you could say it's the five levels of death. Yep. You know, on a professional level, and I mean no disrespect for any of us going through that experience, but yeah, at first there's this shock of wait, did I hear that? Did I read that right? Because this year, due to the pandemic, we have had an overwhelming amount of people in our online classes for the obvious reasons. Working from home or staying home made it very convenient for people to pursue their writing. So it was kind of a shock because our department was doing really great, and We had a lot of writers digging their heels in and embracing and going forward and writing about the whole COVID experience too, in addition to many other topics. So how did it feel at first? Yeah, it was shock. Then it's a matter of processing it. Then it's a matter of, we've got to get this out to everyone, and that's not going to be easy. And so contacting the writing community has been an emotional experience. I have to say, from yourself and many of the other individuals that are listening, we received, myself, Christine DeSmet, and Laura Call, we received so many just amazing emails and Facebook posts and calls and people saying, who can we write to? And how can this be? I can't believe it. And many sad faces were being sent. So everyone, then it became us processing it, then became the entire community processing it. So it's been at this point of, okay, yeah, this is really happening. And I still haven't really, I can't believe there won't be another meeting at the Concourse Hotel, and there will be for the weekend. And by the way, the individuals who run the Concourse Hotel, Michael Ferguson and Mary Schultz, just amazing notes to us, and how much they love our writing community also. So everyone has been affected, and myself included, but we are looking forward to the future, and we hope that the tradition will carry on in some form, some wonderful new form that will benefit the writing community here in Madison.
November is here, which means National Novel Writing Month is upon us. And if you're participating in NaNoWriMo this year, or even if you're not, you know how hard it can be to keep that midnight oil burning long enough to make your day's word count goal. But with help from Kill Your Darlings Candle Company, you can keep yourself at the keys as long as their candles for the wordsmiths of the world burn at your side. Kill Your Darlings Candle Company endeavors to sustainably illuminate the lives of readers, writers, and their communities with candles like the spruce-infused Diverged in a Wood, the bold and dreamy Dramatic Irony, and their classic cherry and merlot-scented Kill Your Darlings Original Scent Blend. So welcome the light of Kill Your Darlings Candle Company into your reading and writing regimen by visiting kydcandleco.com and checking out their full candle selection. Again, that site is kydcandleco.com. Kill Your Darlings Candle Company. Candles for the wordsmiths of the world. And I think that that's been one of my big takeaways from all of this, is this idea that, you know, community, for as much as we love the Concourse Hotel, I mean, what an excellent place to have had that conference for so many years running. For as much as we love the idea of place, you know, what is an event? Well, what is a community? Well, a community is the people. And we're all still here. You and I are still chatting by phone here today. We're still getting emails back and forth from folks who have participated in these programs. And I feel as though when I first got the news, you know, I was struck similarly to how you were struck. And I definitely also thought about those five stages of grief, because it very much was, it was sort of denial. It was just like, oh no, I mean, I misread it. Maybe this is just something that applies only to a select bit of the programming. I mean, we're still able to do stuff online, so this doesn't make sense. And then watching the community go through it a few days later when the announcement is public, and people do things like it, you know, to their credit, they're asking me about the veracity of my sources on this information. And I'm trying so hard not to be defensive because I know where it's coming from. But it's also just like, yeah, it's hard. And I'll admit, you know, this is additionally personal, I think, for people like me and some others who I've spoken with on Twitter in particular, because the University of Wisconsin here in Madison, well, it's also our alma mater. And there was like a real strong sense of pride in knowing that it offered this incredible programming for folks who were in the non-credit space. And whether that was through those online courses or the in-person seminars or the Institute, whatever it was. And I'll admit, I got angry. I had a good angry day, Lori. And it was tough because it was thinking about it in the context of how things have been going with the pandemic for the university as a whole. And then you start asking other questions and you dig yourself around in circles forever. But I don't think I've reached the stage of acceptance yet, like you say, but just like you, I'm trying to find ways to look forward as well, because I think whenever I find myself struggling with, you know, denial, or I'm angry, or I'm trying to bargain my way out of this, well, we're all still here. The people are here, and the people are the ones who can make that community happen.
Yeah. And excellent point, right? And the memories that we've made and the learning that we've experienced and the books that we have published and the articles and all of the work that all of us have done, that's all still here. That's not going to go anywhere, and it's a great foundation upon which to build the next step, whatever that looks like. And we just don't know what that looks like yet, but it's a good point. And to say this to your community, that they need to be part of this, and they are part of the community, they're listening, that, you know, stick around. There will be stuff happening in the future.
Yes. And those could sound like empty words, listeners, like we're trying to just console you. But trust us, there are folks in the community. We're working. It's early days, very early days. We're all still grieving, you know, but it's like we're looking for what's next. And think of it as like the cigar smoke filled rooms. You know, people are percolating on this. We're trying to build some momentum. Nothing will ever replace the Institute, but fingers crossed we can find something to offer the community here.
Right. And to your credit, I just want to say, yourself and other individuals who are also concerned, this is happening fast. This has only been a matter of a couple weeks, and you're already working towards that discussion. So I find that as a very positive reality that's happening now. This is not just talk.
Yes.
There are actual discussions going on, which is fantastic.
There are. We've had, you know, the first initial contact meeting. I've got a call later today with someone for some brainstorming. We've got a follow-up meeting already. Scott, it's happening, folks. Just please be patient. We're going to do our best. Please be patient. Well, Lori, right. let's talk about this maybe in the context. Let's give it a broader context, you know, because we're talking about the episode title here, just so that you know, Lori, as listeners already know, the episode title for this one is On Letting Go. Because though we're talking about it in the context of the Institute, we're talking about it in the context of the Division of Continuing Studies Writing Program at the UW, there are many times in our career as writers, there are many times in our lives where we have to go through this process of letting go of something that we have loved. Hopefully something that we've loved. Sometimes we let go of things we didn't like, and you know, that's a little easier sometimes. But let's talk about this for you, because I know that you've had experience with previous programs, working in academia, working as a producer. You've had these positions you've occupied that you've had to bid farewell to. And how did the process of leaving those experiences behind, how is that comparing to what it's been like so far to navigate this with DCS and the writing program?
It's a great question, because I have gone through different phases in my life, and I have to say that at most points it felt like it was the right time, whether I had made that choice or whether it was the end of a production or the end of a network that I worked at. In this case, this choice was made for me. And as it is when we're starting a story and we have a call to adventure, that call to adventure is either we or our character generates it, or it's something that is thrust upon us and something happens in our life and we have to go accordingly. So this has been a call to adventure, as it's always been during my times in the past, leaving one place and going to the next and such. So, there's that, the denial. No, this isn't really happening. And then finally one realizes that it is happening. And so now I'm going into the special world.
it's a big, scary place.
Right. Because that call to adventure happened upon me. I wanted to stay for quite some time, and that's not going to happen. So now I'm embracing the future. And so I think as writers, that's what we have to do. I don't have a choice, and make it better, because it's the old this or something better will be happening, and that's what's on the horizon.
This episode is brought to you by Dandelion Web Marketing. Dandelion Web Marketing helps writers and authors thrive online. If you need to get your writer's platform up and running fast, Dandelion Web Marketing's Author Quick Start packages are the place to start. These Author Quick Start packages take the headache out of creating your author website and blog and can help you with that all-important analytics tracking and more. So become your best you online today with Dandelion Web Marketing and visit dandelionwebmarketing.com/writers to learn more. That's dandelionwebmarketing.com/writers. You know, and I always like to give myself a little credit for being the person who has the metaphor machine up and running during these conversations, but it never once occurred to me to view all of this through the lens of, you know, that hero's journey with our call to adventure and being dragged across that threshold, kicking and screaming with no choice but to face that special world. And I think that maybe adopting that, particularly in this context, is a really healthy way to look at it because, well, now we know what we're up against, and it's going to take different shapes as we go along the way, but we know in general, all right, this is a challenge that we can meet. We write characters who meet it all the time. I mean, hopefully, if your story ends with a happy ending anyway. So I like that. That's good.
Yeah. Well, let's hope we have happy endings. Of course we do. But yes, if we look at this as we are now in a special world, and that means something for each of us, but it also means something as that community, the writing community as a whole.
And maybe this is part of what the answer to my next question was going to be, which is trying to explore how it is that you have found solace when bidding farewell to those past programs or positions. I mean, we talked about maybe looking at it as somewhat of an adventure, but if there's anything else that you've been through in the past that you found had helped you kind of let go of those things, or maybe what you think you might do to help you process or feel better about what it is that's become of our writing community here. I mean, if you have anything to offer listeners, I'm sure we would all appreciate it, since we're going to be going through similar steps in our own space and time here.
Yeah, it's then looking at what the paths, the avenues might be that are in front of you. And it's a time of pain. And as we've been discussing, it's not easy, but it's also a time of opportunity, a time of possibility, a time of options, in which maybe there are some options that I know for me right now, I'm realizing there are things that I didn't even think of as I go through and look at what I might want to do, what needs to be done, what's next, all of those. I think the solace is that there's going to be a terrific new way of doing things, and things are going to be happening in my life that I didn't plan for, and they'll be good.
And I think that that's something I'm trying to remind myself of, not only in the context of all of this with the UW's non-credit writing program, but also, as listeners learned at the top of this episode, you know, the RightsCast Network is winding down. The last episode will come out December 11th, and it's been tough. You know, I've gone through my own stages of, I've been thinking about this since 2019, about what it is that I was going to do going forward. I've gone back and forth on this decision for quite a while, but just reached a point where perhaps like you did, Lori, in the past for some of your previous positions, it just kind of feels like it's time. You know, you go out on your own terms, but that said, you know, you're still entering this new special world, and what opportunities lie ahead? Am I making the right choice? Well, I don't know. I don't know yet, but I do know that, kind of like you have mentioned, I've got ideas in my head. You know, it's not so much that I'm saying no to the RightsCast Network so much as it is I'm opening the door to say yes to some other opportunities. Those might be related to podcasting. They might not. They might be related to my personal author platform, or they might be more community-centered. I don't know yet, but keeping in mind that whenever one door closes, oh God, I can't believe I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it, Lori. When one door closes, another opens. But here's the thing about that other door, and maybe this is why that cliche rings so hollow, is those other doors don't just open on their own. You have to kind of know that they're there and open it yourself sometimes. And maybe that'll help save me from my own mess of a cliche that I've stumbled into here.
And I have to say that some of the most interesting individuals that I've met in my life through my work have lived really interesting lives. I had a supervisor at Viacom for many years in LA, and previous to programming, broadcast network programming, he had been a curator at a museum, the Pompidou Museum in Paris. And while he was there, he did some extra work for the Olympics, and that brought him to America, where he was in LA programming for Viacom. And from there, he went on to become an interior designer and lives in Aix-en-Provence. So here's an individual who's had three, and I believe he's still in X, and he's doing great. But those are huge careers. Those are, you know, that the path is so different. Yet each one of them led him to different places in the world, meeting different people, having different opportunities of creativity. And he was always such a calm and happy person, and he loved everything that he was doing. He loved life, embraced life. So when you said this, it made me think of someone like that who wasn't stagnant at one job. And we're talking about, that's like 30, 40 year span of a life. It wasn't just bored at one place and in one job. It's embrace what's next and move forward. And this could mean for writers, perhaps maybe branching out to another genre or moving forward with the stories and the books that you have. There's so much to embrace.
There is.
Do that.
There is. And I think that one of the things that you mentioned there, you know, with this individual's journey from, you know, working in production and being in interior design and just sort of what seems like all over the board, well, that reminds me a lot of the conversations that we would hear so often at the Writers Institute, particularly in the context of the success panel, right? Because every year you'd get however many authors would sit up on that panel, and guess what? Every one of them would talk about their path to publication, and not a single one of them was the same. I mean, even for folks who went the traditional route and they had an agent and their agent got them a deal with a big five publisher and then their book came out, well, even along the way and even before that, things were just so vastly different that it goes to show that no matter the direction that we head, whether we're in complete control of it or not, there are opportunities waiting for us, and we can end up in the place that we're meant to be in, even if it doesn't always feel like that. That's kind of the takeaway that I'm trying to take from that anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And what we're saying to your listeners and the writing community is, don't be afraid. Embrace it. The change is good. It's going to lead you to a whole path that you don't even know. We don't know what it looks like.
Right.
And whenever that's happened in my life, it's just been so great. When I say that phrase, I'm not sure what it looks like, stuff shows up, and it's so great. And it becomes a whole new fantastic situation. And so don't be afraid. Move forward in confidence, and your dreams will come true. That's another metaphor.
We're just really leaning into them today. Sometimes, you know, there's a reason these things exist, and maybe it's for times like these, right?
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, again, another direct line. This is just a more concrete example, not to, you know, drive this too into the ground here. But I think about the story that I shared on the success panel at the 2019 Writers Institute about my journey to writing and how it all started with a flight that I took to Brazil. The goal was to show up and teach to teach Spanish and English to university students there. And I showed up and there was no job and I had all this time to kill in Brazil. So I filled it with finally writing that novel I'd always been talking about. And we can draw a straight line from that through all the writerly things, but absurdly enough, to my wife, who I had not met at the time, and I now owning a candle company. I mean, who'd have thunk? Like, it's all connected, and I never, even a year ago, never would have dreamed that that would be something I'd be, have my fingers, you know, all over right now.
I love it.
Yep.
I love hearing those kinds of stories, and it's often individuals who are not closed down. You know, you can't be closed down. You can't be negative. It's the, oh no, what's going to happen? I have no idea. I'm really sure there's a little bit of that, but there's the next thing is, okay, what's next? What's happening? And so when you arrive there, you could have just been completely depressed and bored and not do anything. And look what happened.
Right.
As a result, you know, just a wonderful path that you ended up taking, and it leads you to where you are now.
Mock-up shots. Yes, we're going to talk about mock-up shots because you have a book coming out soon, or you'll have a book out someday. And when that time comes, you're going to need countless images of your book looking pristine and fancy and sharp, and as if you have a bajillion photos having been taken of it by a professional photographer, or at least that's how I felt going into my book launches anyway. And when I found myself feeling that way, I was looking for any help I could get. So what did I do? Well, I didn't hire a photographer. No, what I did is I used Mock-up Shots. Mock-up Shots is an online software. You can just upload your book's cover image and it will generate for you hundreds of incredible looking images of your book as if it is in the hands of readers everywhere, as if it is on bookshelves, as if it is being read on the beach. Yes, Mock-up Shots is really that incredible. And guess what? Here it is. WritesCast Network listeners, you can get a discount on Mock-up Shots right now if you visit bit.ly/coverphotosdeal. Yes, you can go ahead and get yourself Mock-up Shots. You get unlimited lifetime access to it. And guess what? Every month they upload new images. So you're never going to run out of possibilities to have your book featured in these incredible images that you can use on your website and on Instagram and on Facebook and on Twitter. Really, this is incredible stuff, and I can't recommend it enough. So again, visit bit.ly/coverphotosdeal today to cash in on this incredible opportunity. Yeah, we humans do not tend to like stasis. It's just kind of ingrained in us. There's got to be something. It's a survival. Back when I had Lisa Kron on the show, you know, she would have talked about Wired for Story, and she did, in fact, and I'm sure that she's read some paper about that somewhere. The idea that if we were wired for stasis, well, we would have gotten eaten by a lot of saber-toothed tigers many thousands of years ago. So keep on moving. Don't get eaten by the saber-toothed tiger, I guess. That's what I want you to know here, listener. Very cool. Well, we've given a lot of examples of things that folks can have to look forward to. We've talked about the winding path that, you know, we have found ourselves on, how we've been thrust into this special world. But I want to kind of wind this conversation down in a similar place to where we started by talking about, you know, personally, Lori, what is it that you're looking forward to once your time with DCS has come to an end? Because I know that, you know, this hasn't been a quick the door slams shut kind of thing. You're still going to be working for DCS for a few months anyway. And I'm just wondering, what do you have planned? What is coming next for you? Or what are you looking forward to?
Well, thanks for that. I don't have an exact answer yet. This is only about a month that
right.
we've been
yeah.
dealing with this, but I have certainly, as I mentioned earlier, there are some options and such. I hope it looks like working with a number of writing organizations to continue to nurture and mentor and consult writers. I do enjoy this. It is something that I do know this is my life's work, whether it was working with professional screenwriters or working with undergrads in their writing classes onward to our lifelong learners and the individuals in our writing community. So it's what I do, and I don't intend to stop. So I know I will be working as either a consultant or teaching online for a number of other writing communities that will be probably a little bit more specific in certain genres. So that's what I'm hoping will happen. And I'm talking to a lot of people right now, so that'll be good. And I will let everyone know where I'm going and how to reach me once we do arrive at February. So you'll definitely have a new email address for me at that point.
Well, that is good. That is what we need, because like we said earlier, community, it's really all about people. And so long as we can keep the people in touch, we can always have that community. So Lori, I really appreciate you joining me for this conversation. I know this is one that was probably, I'm feeling pretty good having had the opportunity to talk about all this stuff, but I was worried in advance, you know, are we going to be too sad? But no, there's a lot to look forward to. And I really appreciate you making that clear and joining me for this conversation.
Absolutely. We need to, you know, the onward, you know, we're, as I said, we learned a lot. We've met everyone, or, you know, good people. And there will be a new version available, and that's all good. And so let's embrace it and move forward. And it'll be great.
It will. It very much will. There it is, my final interview of Lori Scheer for the RightsCast Network. Thank you, Lori, for joining us for this episode and so many others, and thanks to you, dear listeners, for the same. I'd also like to thank the RightsCast Network's patrons, including Laura Hazen and Angeline Boley, who contribute to our programming financially at patreon.com/rightscast. Thanks as well to our on-air sponsors, Dandelion Web Marketing, Lost Lake Press, and Kill Your Darlings Candle Company. To learn more about them or our other sponsors, you can visit rightscast.net/sponsors. We're also grateful for audio support from Electronauts, Inc. To learn more about their audio production and maintenance services, visit electronautsinc.com. That's electronautsinc.com. Coming up next on the RightsCast Network is a conversation with Lindsay Wisner about 10 steps to finding happy. So stay tuned for my forthcoming conversation with her, which will debut on RightsCast.net, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts on November 13th. In the meantime, you can say hello on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at RightsCast or by searching for the RightsCast Network. We're also available by email at rightscast@gmail.com. To reach me personally, you can visit rrcampbellwrites.com or get in touch on Twitter as @IamRRCampbell. I love hearing from listeners of all backgrounds, so please don't hesitate to reach out. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, this is R.R. Campbell signing off. Write on and write well. This is the RightsCast Network, brought to you by Dandelion Web Marketing, Lost Lake Press, and Kill Your Darlings Candle Company, and always streaming at rightscast.net.